Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is October 4th, year 2009, and it's the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and the feast day of our spiritual general, St. Francis of Assisi, the great St. Francis, one of the greatest saints ever, who teaches us total detachment from the world. He's the one, if you want to learn how to really detach from the world, go to Father Francis. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, never shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
Good Catholics are never lonely, and they're never alone. Yeah, if you, when you're first coming into the church, it may take a while to get over loneliness. If you don't get to the point where you're completely and totally satisfied with God alone, you're in serious trouble. You have to keep working at it. And if you're lonely, that means you're really lonely for the world, and you're not loving God sufficiently. And so loneliness is a really bad sign that you need to work on. And a lot of people are new coming in here. It's just one of those things you got to get rid of. And you do that by loving God, studying about God, reading about God, doing your prayers and doing your mortifications. And He will eventually get rid of that out of you. And then you can be in a cave out in a mountain and you're never alone. To ever say you're alone is an insult to God. Because God is always with you. Your guardian angel is always with you. The Blessed Mother is always with you. They're always with you. You want them to be with you. But if you don't want them to be with you, you got a problem. You see? So that's why I say, you know, a lot of these people come into there too because it's companionship. Some want to please their Catholic relatives. Yeah.
What if people say they're bored? They should never say they're bored.
No, neither. Neither bored.
No,
yeah,
bored,
no. Not bored nor lonely, because you may have little moments where you drag a little bit, but that's what prayer's for. God gives you those little drag moments, very minor, and when you pray, you're lifted back up again. But that's why you got to keep your day and your schedule busy and full of good works of the Lord. Whatever work He puts on your platter. But the biggest thing with a lot of people, if they're still in the world, what they're really saying is they're lonely for the world because they want to go back out into the world. They're bored being around good Catholics. If you're bored being around good Catholics, that means you're bored being around God. That means you belong with Satan and you belong with the world. Go back out there and enjoy that chaos. And that's a snare too, because it's a delusion. You think you want to go back out there, and your own evil concupiscences is ruling you. And as soon as you go back out there, you have just little moments of what you may call pleasure with intense moments of chaos, arguments, fighting, distresses, and agony. If you can't be contented to be with God alone, then you got a really big problem.
I was going to say, even if you're by yourself, a Catholic should never say they're bored, even if they don't have...
That's what I mean. If you're in a cave.
Exactly.
A cave. I'm the happiest when I'm in my little cell alone. Yeah. I could sit in that cell for hours. I could just imagine people coming by, what is he doing in that cell all that time? Boy, that's boring, huh? Not 1 minute boring. There's not 1 minute boring when you're serving God. I'm either praying, or I'm studying, or I'm reading, or I'm recreating, or I'm sleeping, or I'm contemplating. And then when you got to go out and do your work in the afternoon, that's why God gives you work to do. You got to make sure you do your work. And that's needed too. That's part of your day. And to be a good Catholic and helping to work and contribute to the Catholic Church is a great thing. Like even the brothers up there, all the donations that all the brothers give here, I can't underestimate the value of donations on getting people many graces. I know some of the brothers had some serious problems, and we had to let them go for a while, but because they were not stingy with money wasn't, they weren't worldly with money stuff, and they gave donations, and they didn't worry about the vanity of Americanism, materialism, although they had other problems. God was merciful to them, and they're back with us now, and they're working out their salvation in fear and trembling, because they were not stingy with their gifts. There's nothing worse than being a cheap giver to God. Look what He did with Cain. Cain was a cheapster. He tried to give God second rate, you know. But in other words, this whole thing of loneliness, though, and boredom, if you have it, you better get rid of it quick, because it's not Catholic, it's the demon, it's the devil. And just think about when you say that, God's saying, how could you dare say you're lonely when I have the grace there to make you happy? That means you're either not praying sufficiently, or you're not mortifying yourself sufficiently, or you're not studying the Catholic faith sufficiently. Yeah, and then you're not, and then on top of those three pillars, you're not going out and doing things that you need to do. Now, this is good. It's good to know for people who first come into the church, or catechumens that are practicing to come into the church. You have to understand that this is not a good thing. You have to fight to overcome it. And then what makes you lonely? Just look at where our Lord says in Matthew 6:21, where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. So whatever you're lonely for, think about it. That's what you love more than God. I miss my family members. I miss when I used to be out in that world, my old friends. I miss my grandchildren. I miss my kids. If that's happening in your heart, you're in deep trouble. God's going to curse you. He's going to put a curse down upon you like you can never believe. You got to make sure in your heart you weed that out. You can still love them, but don't be obsessed with them. Keep the love on the outer part of your heart. Leave God and the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the center part of your heart. If you ever put me back out with my old friends and my family member and pick me up right now like God picked up Habakkuk by the crown of his head and brought him over to Daniel's den, I would have much rather gone to Daniel and give him a bowl of porridge and go back to my family members. If you drop me right in the middle of, like say for instance my family was having a get together and everyone was there, and I got dropped right in the middle of them, I would almost die from fright. Of just disgust, what I mean. Like, oh, get me out of here. This is a nightmare. I feel like I'm in hell. That's how I feel, you see? And even my old friends. I'd have to, first of all, spend a couple of minutes straightening them all out real quick. Back off, get away. First of all, you're on the road to hell. So you can ward them off. But what is this thing if you call yourself a good Catholic and you want to go back out into the evil world with unbelievers that hate God? What is this loneliness we talk about? Love, yes. Pray for the conversion, yes. But loneliness? What is God? God's not good enough for you? The Blessed Virgin Mary is not good enough for you? Good Catholics are not good enough for you? That's why most people go to hell. They really do. It's a scary thing, folks. I say time and time again, our Lord said, he who loves his father, mother, brother more than me is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And in the beginning, you're going to have to make some real acts of sacrifice by putting these things out of your mind. The hardest thing I tell a lot of people coming to the church is when we tell them that their grandparents and their fathers and mothers are in hell. If your father or your mother went to the SSP 10 and he died in the SSP 10, he's in hell. There's no proof your father abjured. I don't care how nice you think he was. That's got to stop. I'm sorry. Because then everybody wants their father or mother in. Everyone's going to come up with an excuse. I've seen God curse people. Especially if you're amongst us and you profess the dogma, but in your heart you're still thinking that your grandparents and your parents, when you know for a fact that they were going to a non-Catholic church, may be saved even. You have to presume they're in hell. The presumption is they're damned. And you can't even pray for them as faithfully departed. A curse comes down upon you. That's putting family above God. That's putting family above God. All these little things, if you're having trouble, you know, you may not make the connections, but there's the connection. Why should you care about them? I don't care how good your father or mother did certain things on the natural plane. That ain't going to save you. A Southern Baptist does a lot of good things if you follow him around. Has a very neat ranch. Has a very, very clean, neat, keeps his horses nice, his house nice. He doesn't curse maybe. He doesn't use God's name in vain. Helps the little ladies across the street and gives to the poor. But what does St. Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13:3? If I should distribute all my goods to the poor and deliver up my body to the fire, but hath not charity, it profited me nothing. True charity, only Catholics can have that, because that's loving God first, a Catholic God. So all that stuff's not going to do you any good. You know, a few people, they do a few nice things, and you think, wow, he was so nice. My father used to take me out and take me hunting, and he used to show me how to do this and show me how to do. Who cares? He didn't have the faith. I don't want to hear it. Now, you gotta better get right with God. You better understand that God is your father first, and Mary is your mother second, and then your earthly father and mother come way down on the list. If they happen to be good Catholics, thank God for that. And they're still second to the God the Father and Mary our mother. So the big thing is you gotta fight against that loneliness. You gotta fight against that boredom. If you're getting any of that kind of stuff, it's because your mind is not with God. A lot of people talk a good game, but you see, that means if you're not reading the scriptures the way you should, if you're not studying the way, you would learn from God. He would tell you how evil the world is. He would tell you to stay away from your wicked family members. Sometimes the best medicine for a person who is undergoing that is to send them back home again with their evil family members and say, brother, you got to go where your heart is. And then if you decide to convert and repent, we'll welcome you back again. If you're sincere, we'll let you come back again, but you got to leave. Go back with whom you chose and live with them. And then hopefully when that person's living back out in the world, God will beat the hell out of them literally and they'll want to come back again. That's what we hope. That's what St. Paul said when you have one of those brothers that are committing a bad Catholic even. Don't even eat with them. Cast them out of the camp and turn them over to Satan. And let Satan beat them up for a while because maybe he will save his soul in the end. Because then he will go back and see what he chose, what he gave up. the pearl of great price. Let him go back into the world. Because the devil places all kinds of illusions over you. And I tell brothers all these things, you got to get these thoughts out of your mind. You know, if you're really loving God above all things, you're not going to be lonely. You're not going to be bored. If that's happening, you got a big problem. You're in mortal sin already. You're not right with God. If you die tomorrow, you will go to hell. Because St. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:18, if the just man shall scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? The just man who loves God shall scarcely be saved. Where do you think the man goes who doesn't really love God? He goes to hell, not even purgatory. He has no chance. These are little signs to let you examine your conscience and know that if this is happening, you're in mortal sin and you're on the road to hell. You're not accepting your cross. Let's say, for instance, in the worst case scenario, a Catholic is put in a position and the Chinese come in here or you're made a slave and are whipping you all day and are making you work 14 hours a day and they're hardly feeding you. Offer it up to the cross and rejoice and be glad in the Lord. If you have God with you, He will give you the grace, as we read every day in the Martyrologies, to undergo the torments smiling and with joy. How is that possible on our own self? It's not. But with God's grace, all things are possible, and He promises to give you that joy. So even when you have a really rotten boss and you're in a wicked situation, I had to go back out after I left the monastery as a punishment from God and do penance and work out in that world again. You know, but God gave me the grace to be able to do it. I understood that I was getting much grace for it. I prayed every day, and God was giving me the grace to do my job well and not to murmur or not to complain. The only complaint I ever had was, Lord, I'd like to be a little more alone with you, maybe pray with you. And He says, no, this is your job now. You work, you do your work, and that's your prayer. And I submitted to God's will. And the minute I totally submitted to God's will and did my work, I was joyful, I was happy, I worked diligently, and I worked cheerfully. You got to ask God for this kind of help. And then God gives you the grace to be able to do that. But that, because really, think about it, if you're really not loving God and your mind isn't really on the faith, and you're in the camp here for insincere motives, we may as well be speaking a foreign language to you people, because you don't understand it. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, the sensual man perceiveth not the things that are of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually examined. That's what's happening. So we had the few brothers, the people we just kicked out here a while ago. Every time we spoke about anything religious or watched a religious movie, he couldn't stand it. The sensual man.
But the sensual man perceiveth not these things that are of the Spirit of God, for it is foolishness to him, and he cannot understand because it is spiritually examined.
It's foolishness. So when they hear me preach, it gets them angry because they don't have the faith. Who said I have brainy preaching? He thinks he knows everything. They're really saying God thinks he knows everything. And yes, God does know everything. If you don't like what I'm saying, it's not me you don't like, it's God. And it proves to me you're not studying your faith the right way. If people come out of here and don't like something I'm saying, all right, bring the proof. Did I not present the case? Did I quote the scripture verse wrong? Did I quote the dogma wrong? Or was I correct in what I said? Because people that aren't spiritual, they hate it when you speak spiritual things. They actually abhor you. There's several verses in here that says the wicked man cannot even bear to have the just man living on this earth, planet earth, anywhere. If they know there's a just man living 2,000 miles away from him, he still can't stand that guy because he's living somewhere on the face of the earth. That's how wicked men are. They don't like that. They can't be around because the demons are inside them, prompting them to those things. So the separation from the world is a big thing. When God starts seeing you loving anything more than him, you're under a curse. You know, there's nothing worse. You say, oh, are you a good Catholic? But I'm so lonely. I'm so bored. It's a bummer. You know, how many times, I'll tell you, when I went to the Catholic University, Catholic University, I hate to call it that, of America. I mean, it was a dump. It was the worst place you can ever go to. One day, maybe I'll tell you all the stupid stuff that went on there. But anybody knows that when you go to school. I'm depressed. I'm down. It's a bummer, man. You know, and they'd have all these moments of elation, you know, half hour, an hour of elation with deep moments of depression, walking around with their heads down, dragging down. That's a lack of God's grace. It's a curse that you're under. This is what you see. And today they call it something like the bipolar syndrome or something. They give it a name. So they do drugs to alleviate the pain. Or they become alcoholics. That's not God's grace there. It's a curse. The whole world's cursed, especially if you're a nominal Catholic, you're under even a worse curse. And then you could have a kid who's not normally like that, and he goes to a school like that, and they start making him like that. Or with my case, when I went there, I wasn't so much like that, you know, because coming from the inner city, we weren't like that. We didn't do that stuff. We weren't like that from the inner city. We had a different problem. We would beat people up that were like that. Because, what's wrong with you, man? Wake up and act like a man. Get up on your 2 feet. Bum, bum, bum! We give them a couple shots in the head and straighten them out. Stand up on your feet and act like a man. And stop moping around like a big jamope. The Italians used to call them jamopes. We call them jamopes. You're a big jamope. You mope around all the time. You're moping. And this is a curse. It's a lack of God's grace. Can you imagine good Catholics saying that? And then somebody comes up and says, a Southern Baptist something, or a Buddhist. And we're trying to convert the Buddhist, who he thinks he's got the right religion. And he looks at us. Are you a Catholic? Yes. But life is a bummer. I'm depressed. I'm so lonely. I'm not happy. Man, you got a miserable religion, man. What kind of a God is that? I don't want to become Catholic. And then, let alone, he looks at how you're living. You're a drug addict, or you're an alcoholic, or you're a blasphemer. You mug people. You rob people. Even on the natural plane, some of these other pagans aren't as bad as this. In particular, I'm saying this about God's chosen people. When they go bad, they become even worse. And what an example is that? I thought the Holy Rosary is supposed to lift you up. I thought that your daily prayers are supposed, and if it's not lifting you up, that means you're insincere and your prayers aren't even true. That's why I tell you, you need to have the three pillars. Not just prayer, but mortification and sacrifice, penance, and studying the Catholic faith. Daily Bible readings. Filling your life with the love of God. Watching biblical movies. You can watch secular movies. We have them here, but our biblical movies outnumber our secular movies, probably 3-1 or 4-1. We watch secular movies. There's nothing wrong with sports and secular movies. We watch sports too. But you gotta predominantly have the religious. And that's where your real heart is. The heart of all hearts has to be with the religious. And then you have to go out and actually do acts of obedience. We're not Protestants. God demands us to break ties with our family members. We gotta do it. If you listen to what your spiritual, a good Catholic is telling you, or a preacher, and you obey him, God will give you the grace to overcome your problems. We were just talking yesterday about when people of Jordan come into the church and they're leaving the world and their family members are all wicked. Be careful not to be bringing pictures and looking at your family pictures. I got no pictures of my family. I don't even got no pictures of me. They sent me one family picture about a couple years ago and I put it in a little manila folder. I don't even know where it is somewhere. I got no pictures here of my family. Only pictures we have here are of good Catholics. That's our family. I mean, my point is, when you start, just go to, if you got pictures of your family members all over the place, what did our Lord said? Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I want to see pictures of Jesus, of Mary, of the Holy Trinity, of the saints. You can still have pictures of Catholic family members, and you can have those. But my point is, what is that pagan picture doing? Every time you're looking at that, the devil's going to tempt you. Oh my, but they're pagans. You got to look and say they're unbelievers. They're not right with God. You still pray for them. You still love them. It's definitely we want them to convert. If they show any inkling of goodwill, we're the first ones to do anything we could within our power to get them out here to pray for. We always pray for them, sacrifice them, teach them. But other than that, God is number one in my life. They don't mean anything. If you show me a photo album of my family, right now I'd almost die from fright. Just remembering what it was like when I was out in that world. I'm a new man. I am. Anybody who knows the old man knows I'm a new man. As all my friends that he grew up with can say, Branny is a big mouth. Look at him. He was a rotten sinner. How could he preach? I could preach even more probably than some other people because I'm a living testimony what God's grace can do and what the Blessed Virgin Mary can do. And I say it 1,000 times. If God can clean me up and I broke every one of God's commandments, then God can clean anybody up. And God made me a new man. And when God was doing this, brothers, I will tell you truly, I will tell you truly, truly, that he killed me. I felt like I was killed. Killed! I can't explain it in any other way. Absolutely killed! And I felt the new man being created in me. And how could you call yourself a new man when you want to go back and do what the old man did? Love the things the old man loved. Go back with the pagan family members. Go back to the pagan world. Go back to their pagan conversations. And bow down to the pagan idols again. Is that a new man? Proof that you're really a good Catholic is how you live your life. Talk is cheap. It's how you live your life. I think even St. James or St. John said in 1 John 5:18, he says, little children, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. What he meant by that is, let us not only profess ourselves to be Catholics, let's prove it by the way we live. Let's prove it by the way we feel. Let's prove it by our example. And any good Catholic community will not be able to keep anybody in it very long who's not correct. They will cast them out. And that's what makes pure the camp. That's what sets the example for a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Talmudic Jew who may want to convert, who has some goodwill and really wants to live a good life, even though he's not in the right religion right now. He sees us. He's not just going to look at what we're preaching. That's one thing. He's going to look at how we're living. And if he's got the goodwill, and our Lord says there's Jews out there that will convert today, I'm preaching to them. Come and look how we live. We have the complete, total, happy life. We don't go too far to the right, and we don't go too far to the left. As a matter of fact, we just stay on that center road, which people think it's the extreme right. They always call it the extreme right. We're the extreme righties, because you're rigid. But it's the center road, and it's the most peaceful, happy, joyful, balanced, disciplined, and at the same time, beneficent life. You have to just see how we're living it. But if I allowed people to stay in Mary's little remnant, which is my religious order, and I allowed even other Catholics who weren't part of my religious order, and they visited us, and they were bad Catholics, really bad, and I allowed them to stay in communion with us, what kind of a Catholic am I? What kind of an example am I setting for other people? Because before you know it, and Brother Bruce knows that, one rotten apple ruins the whole barrel. One rotten apple infects the whole barrel. St. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 5:6. A little leaven corrupteth the whole lump. And so, even when the brothers come in here and are being tempted by devils and fall into mortal sins, we give them the medicine of God. We admonish them with brotherly love. And we give them a chance. We give them penance. And they come back in, back on the right road. You got to keep the camp pure. Or then you're going to get, I always say it a lot, I'm just thinking, and all the brothers here know of all the people that we already kicked out of the camp, that stayed out of the camp, and they're not back in here yet. I hope, we pray for everyone that left here. Everyone, they'll be listening to my sermon now. I don't care how bad you were. All you people of Jordan fell away, we're praying for you. That when if the world beats you up enough, you better come back here on your knees and humble yourself. Because what would it be like, and I'm thinking of all the people now, if we had a little reunion, all the Ibrani haters. Now, they wouldn't say, oh, we don't hate Ibrani, we just don't like him. I don't care what you want to say. But they come at us with a rage that's straight out of hell. They speak irrational, they bring lying accusations and all this. But you got to know these people like we know them. And you put them all in one room, they were probably ripping one another's eyes out in a matter of 2 or 3 days. 2 or 3 days. They'd be fighting with one another, they'd be using one another, they'd be abusing one another. It would be chaos. Because they're all rebels. You put them in a room, they wouldn't even be able to maintain one another. They only have one thing in common. They all hate us. Or hate God. They really do. Now, they will say, I don't hate. You do hate God, though. You hate the ways of God. You hate God's commandments. You got a choice on how you're going to live in this world. You're going to either live according to God's rules or the world's rules. You don't got it both ways. If you don't like the way I'm speaking and you don't like my tone, then get lost. Don't come in here until you like it. Because I know one thing. I say my old man, when I was young, I wish I heard my new man. I wish me now spoke to me then. Really. I needed someone like me to come along when I was a youth, when I was young, and to look me in the eyes. And I know I would have listened to that man because I know how I was. City kids, too, they're pretty tough. They're not wimps. They're not cowardly. They need to have a strong, convicted person to look them in the eye, not a wimp. Not somebody who's effeminate. Not somebody who says something but doesn't do it because they hate hypocrites. Even hypocrites hate hypocrites. Remember we said that? Even liars hate liars. But now, everything that I saw when I was coming to the church was directed towards non-judgmentalism, effeminacy, hide under Mary's mantle and she'll do it all. Don't admonish nobody. Don't condemn nothing and don't denounce anybody. What kind of a religion is that? Not even in a pagan society. As bad as we are in the United States, they have laws. They lock people up in jail still. Even though they may not have sufficient laws and they don't punish the people enough, they still have laws. How is it that us people who call themselves Catholics don't do these things anymore? And then when I do them, they get angry. You got to examine your heart. If anybody's angry with any of your brothers in here for doing something just, you could be righteously angry at a brother, or you could, if you have a real claim against somebody, you still have to love them. My point is, if you're getting very upset against the brothers and you're getting real, you got a rebellious spirit. If I haven't said something wrong, and what I'm teaching is correct, and you can't be told what to do, How are you going to get in heaven? How are you going to get in heaven, which is a hierarchy, when God is going to tell you what to do? When God's going to look into the depth of your soul and say, get down on your knees, worm! I'm Almighty God, and I'm going to command you. I'm going to tell you what you got to do. I'm going to tell you where you got to go, and I'm going to tell you how far you got to go. Americanists don't want to hear that right away. What, the way I just spoke, that's it. That's why they're never going to get to heaven. And guess what? They don't realize that there is no such thing as freedom and democracy, because they're in Satan's kingdom, and he barks out orders too. But he's a tyrant. He's a tyrant, not God. They accuse God of being the tyrant. The true tyrant is the devil. And that person wants to go around, and you know what he's saying in his heart, Americanism and democracy? I am my own God. Each individual human being is his own judge and jury. He's his own God. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Tell that to God on Judgment Day. Go ahead. When you die and you go to your particular judgment, say that to the face of God. You won't even be able to at that point, because you're going to know how wicked you are. But every time you do that on earth, that's what you're saying. God who created you, God who created all the good things on this earth, God who died on the cross to redeem you and to give you a chance to enter a life everlasting, he's not going to tell you what to do. It's like our Lord said in one of the verses, is you invite people to a feast. And no one wants to come to your feast, or people come and they don't give thanks to the person who runs it. I have people say, I believe our Brandy's Catholic, I like everything he teaches, but I just don't want to be with him. I don't want to be with him or his people. I don't want to be in the room with them. That's schism in its purest form. And that's the beginning, that's a pure schism. And why does that happen? Because you're committing mortal sins. Our Lord said that when you're in darkness, you don't want to come to the light, so that your sins may be manifest. If you're repulsed by us, you're definitely in mortal sin. If I'm living a good Catholic life, and we're living a good Catholic life, and we're obeying God's commandments, and you don't want to be around us, you're one of those people, our Lord said, who hates the just man, who's repelled by the just man. He who hated being reproved walketh in the trace of sinners, Ecclesiasticus 21:7. We have many verses that speak about that, that repulsion that the evil people have. So, they try to come in here and turn us into non-judgmentalists. If our Brandy just didn't condemn anything, and he didn't denounce anybody, I would like to be with them. Well, what kind of a camp would I have then? You know, okay. Even when I was a pagan, I was never a non-judgmentalist as a pagan. I think that's what gave me a lot of hope. City kids aren't like that. When they grow up, you grow up in a city with a rough life, you judge. Oh yeah, you condemn and you denounce. Even though you may not condemn and denounce the right things, you're not a wimp. You're not effeminate. There's nothing worse to me that I saw when I went to Catholic University American and saw these suburbanite kids. Because it's the first time I got out of the city. And I saw these effeminate little wimps. Non-judgmentalists. Oh, it's disgusting. It's a filthy thing to see. This stuff, you can get them to do anything. You know, jump through the loop backwards, front, you do this, do that, and they don't have any true heart for God. They don't make any judgments. They're so weakened. And these are nominal Catholics. You know, they're even worse because they're under a curse from God when you get bad like that. That's why you see all these sins that are being committed today. So you have a choice to make. If you're finding yourself lonely, you're not studying the faith the way you should, because if you're reading the faith, that's, or praying, or you're mortifying yourself. The point is, if you're doing those things, the first thing when I wake up, I get my prayers in, and I can't wait to go to the Bible to get my daily contemplation. And if the Bible readings have something every day they have something to say, I can stop on one verse for 15 minutes and talk to God about one verse. One verse, like a fine wine. People say, you sip a fine wine. You sip the verses in, and then you listen to it. Then you speak to God. And then you go to another verse. And then tomorrow, it's like an ongoing story. Or now we're on the next chapter. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And God fills your hearts with new thoughts and new contemplations. If that stuff's not happening, you're not right with God. You're not right. You've got to start doing it so you can get right with God. And my point is, isn't that what everybody does who loves anything? If you love a military game, like I also love military games, you've got to study the rules and learn how to play it. What kind of a game would it be if I just turned it on and didn't know the rules? I don't even know what I'm doing. It wouldn't be no fun. Or if you didn't know the rules when you're watching baseball or football, you know, it wouldn't be no fun. You need to learn. You need to study. You need to look. You got to study. People do that in the natural plane. They can understand what I'm saying. So how is it that you can say you love God when you're not reading about God? And how do you, the primary way you read about God is the Catholic Bible with a good Catholic commentary and reading the church fathers and infallible papal bulls and infallible papal teachings and dogmas. That's how you come to know God. That's how you know God. Alright? And that's how you learn about them. Then when you see things in the world, you can see everything happening by the hand of God, and then God starts doing miracles in your own life. And he starts making things happen. He's actually really showing himself to you. There's one of the verses that said, God only shows himself to those who have faith in him. But he will not dwell in a malicious soul or a body subject to sin. He will only show himself to those who first put faith in him, and then he will show himself, and he does. And when that happens, how could you ever be lonely? You never are. But when you're on that road and you're coming into the church, you have to listen to what we're telling you. In the beginning, reading the Bible may be difficult, the Catholic Bible, because you haven't done it. It's a little confusing. You don't understand it. Keep plow yourself through it. Don't worry about it. Read my website where I have the Catholic Bible reading schedule that I have. Follow that schedule. Study the dogmas. Read my books. Every one of my books is calculated to inspire you. And my sermons. Then you've got to go out and live the life too. The prophet Daniel said that many shall be chosen and made white and shall be tried by fire. But the wicked shall deal wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the learned shall understand. Understanding means you've got to know the faith. You've got to love God and you're going to be tried by fire. What does a trial by fire mean? Does it mean you're going to come in here and there's no test to make? Yeah, there is a test. The first test is to break away from your wicked family members. To break away from the evil world. That's your first, and to break away from your old person. What else is the trial by fire? You expect to come in here and not go through a trial. So if you're undergoing a trial, expect that to happen. The trial by fire will happen is when you start doing the right thing against your family members and they start breathing fire at you. Because they're angry at you. They're going to come at you with a venom and a hatred. You're going to say, wow! When you start preaching the faith to people, then you see the true nature of the beast. Like a Southern Baptist. Just go up and ask him about the Holy Eucharist. And about true devotion to Mary and see what he says about her. You're going to see a wicked man. You're going to see an evil man. Scratch a little bit under the surface of that Protestant. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man. He's a man that hates the true God. But of course, if you don't say any of that stuff, you can pretend to be friends on a superficial level. Go back to your family members and tell them they're on the road to hell. On the broad road to hell. If they don't stop doing this, this, and that. And stop putting carts before horses and thinking that they're really of goodwill until they show some goodwill. Or you're insulting God. Well, think about how bad it is when nobody condemns and denounces, when our Lord said that almost every person in the world is going to hell at any given time in the history of humanity. I'm not just talking about the final days. The days of Noah. The days of Adam and Eve. Before the flood. The days of Abraham. Every period of mankind, there's only very few people saved. Now, this is a scary thing. How is it that every theology we read now is directed towards telling us how everyone's in heaven? Everyone's in heaven. And dare you say it, the apostate Catholic that just died, Ted Kennedy, he's in hell, burning forever. Everyone thinks he was a great man. He was an apostate. Here's a guy that was in an illegal second marriage. It's not even a marriage. He's living in adultery. He supports abortion, even according to the Vatican II Church, that's evil, and they buried him in that church and didn't care about it at all. It goes to show you what type of convictions they have about their own beliefs. They're apostate, they're heretics, they're blasphemers, and they don't even hold, and they're hypocrites, and they got no conviction about their own rules even. Here's a guy that if you ever stood up and you said, like I am, that Ted Kennedy's burning in hell, and he certainly is, and John Kennedy's in hell, and they're burning in hell for all eternity, they would have killed me, these pacifists, peace-nickers. They would lose the peace-nick mentality for about 5 minutes to beat me to death. I would die a martyr ahead of my time. I say it any time. I'm not afraid of that. I don't care. I'm just trying to let you understand what non-judgmentalism leads to. See, that's the first thing when you really become a Catholic is you look at us and them. What is the us, Catholics? What is the them, non-Catholics? And also bad Catholics. And what does the them mean? People on the road to hell. And what does that mean to you? First of all, I have to try to save my own soul and not be social with them, but I have to denounce them when I have an opportunity. I have to tell them they're on the road to hell and tell them what they need to be saved. And if you're not willing to do all those things, and let alone not only that, your heart is with those people instead of with good Catholics, go where your heart is. And you will end up going where your heart is. God doesn't interfere with free will. God does not interfere with free will. In the end, everyone has to choose his own path. And there's only two paths. It's either God or it's Satan. And there's no other choice. And in the end, you make that wrong choice. Our hope is that when we kick the brothers out of here, if they're not right, and we let them go back in the world for a while, that they come back because they get beat up so much, they begin to see how wrong they were. Most of the time, they stay out there. And they just get imbibed with the world. We got some people that were preparing to be catechumens, and they weren't making progress, and they're very worldly. We told them they can't come here and visit no more until they're really sincere. And all you hear about these peoples is conspiracy stuff and secular stuff. Never about their souls. Now, you can know everything about the conspiracies in the world and all that, but if your soul's not right with God, you can die today and you're going to go to hell for all eternity. Their perspective is all upside down. And they're fearful of what's going to happen in the days of the Antichrist. What's to be fearful if you're right with God? Everything's going to happen according to God's will. If you're with God, there's nothing to fear but God. We just present the facts about the Antichrist and the things that are going to happen in a plain out fashion, and we look it in the eye and we spit at it. We denounce it. And we stand up against it. And we're willing to die even if we have to for it.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.